You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the Giants losing both games of their doubleheader yesterday against the Dodgers. Giants did not score in either game. It was actually the first and second time all season long that they were shut out. We're also going to talk about the upcoming trade deadline. Next time we have an episode, which will be on Monday, it'll be the trade deadline. So this weekend against the Diamondbacks is pretty big. So we'll talk about the different possibilities for the Giants coming out of the weekend and what it will mean for them on Monday. A little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network in 2019. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So these two losses against the Dodgers yesterday were tough, especially considering the fact that the Giants won the first game of the series, and that first game may have been their best win of the year. Got me all hyped on the show when I was talking about this, that, and the other thing, just hyped up from that Giants win that pulled them to just one game under 500. And then, of course, Wednesday's game was postponed in protest. So then they play the two seven-inning game doubleheader yesterday. And in game one, it was Clayton Kershaw on the mound against Logan Webb. And really, Logan Webb had some awful luck in this game. Several softly hit balls just found holes and led to a big inning, really. And on the other side, Clayton Kershaw, in the first inning, the Giants had something going against Kershaw. Yastrzemski led off with either a walk or a hit, and then Wilmer Flores hit one deep into right center field that looked like it was going to be a run-scoring double or triple. But Cody Bellinger made just an unbelievable catch, running like 105 feet to get to the ball, and it looked like a ball that he had little chance of getting to. But that's not by accident. You know, the Dodgers have Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts out there, two MVPs, literally, and they're not just one-dimensional. And I just want to, this is like a side point, but I definitely had this thought at the time. But we talk on this show about how defense is not just errors. It's unbelievable to me that still in 2020, we have so many people saying, well, they're number one in defense. They're last in defense. And they're simply talking about fielding percentage. But if you look at a play like the one Cody Bellinger made, that has nothing to do with errors or not making errors. Like, that counts as a catch, but a lot of guys don't make that catch. And so we need to evaluate defense in the form of understanding range, especially with outfielders. And so a slower center fielder, that's a run scoring triple. But with the Dodgers and with Bellinger and Betts out there, it's an out and a runner on first, and it definitely led to the Giants getting shut down in that inning. There was another diving catch by AJ Pollock to end the inning. I think it was Darren Ruff at the plate. So could have been a different game if Cody Bellinger doesn't make that catch. I truly believe that. But he did, and then Kershaw settled in, and then that was really it. Kershaw just cruised to victory after Logan Webb was the victim of some bad luck in one of those innings. So then in game two, it was Kevin Gausman on the mound. And Kevin Gausman has become kind of a big story because he is like the most obvious trade candidate that the Giants have, given that he's signed to just a one-year deal. So his contract expires at the end of this season. And he's thrown the ball really well for the Giants. It hasn't really shown up yet in the form of a good ERA. His ERA is just 4.54, which is actually more or less league average in 2020. But the peripheral numbers, which are fueled by the strikeout numbers and the walk numbers, are really, really good. Like, simply if you look at strikeout to walk ratio, he's been unbelievable. And then these rates get funneled into like a metric called fielding independent pitching, which basically predicts your future ERA based on strikeouts, walks, and home runs. And his is excellent because he's had such good strikeout and walk numbers. So this metric is actually more predictive of future performance, and that's why Gausman is such an attractive piece right now and one of the better probably available players in the trading market. Not saying he's number one, but he's a guy that a lot of teams that are contending are going to be calling the Giants about. And so he didn't have his best game. He only went 4 2/3, just 3 hits allowed, but a home run, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and 2 earned runs. Sam Selman, Trevor Gott, and Sam Coonrod combined to go scoreless the rest of the way. It was a nice outing for Gott and Coonrod. Man, unbelievable stuff on Sam Coonrod, throwing like 101 miles an hour with movement. It's just ridiculous what he's doing. This is so much better than what he was doing last year, which is, again, a testament to the coaching staff being able to get the most out of the players through the latest technology and development tools. But anyway, getting back to Gausman, he's a big trade candidate, but also he's a guy who's helping the Giants in the present. So they must choose how to balance the present and the future. But given that they lost these two games, like, you're going to be changing your evaluation day by day. And the fact that they lost two games makes me lean a little more towards you got to sell a guy like Gausman while you can, especially with his quotes after the game when he was asked about the possibility of being traded and the possibility of re-signing with the Giants. So I want to get to those quotes, read all about them, talk about what they mean, talk about what the Giants should and will do with the trade deadline just 3 games away, just about 72 hours away from now. So we'll talk all about that coming up in the second half of the show. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain our cars is to save money that we can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers whether you're a professional mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You can literally buy parts if you really want to have your repairs done at like a dealership. Just tell them what the part is, and instead of having them buy it for you, just buy it on rockauto.com and bring it in yourself, and they'll do the repair, and you won't have to have spent the extra money on the auto part. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. This is very important. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk, as promised, about Kevin Gausman and these quotes he said after the game about possibly being traded. We'll look to this series in Arizona, look at the different possibilities. What will the Giants' record be when they come out of this series, and what might it mean on Monday's trade deadline? But the quotes from Gausman were very interesting. So reporters asked him about the possibility of being traded because this was his last start before the deadline. So it may have been his last appearance as a Giant. If so, it was a very brief career with the Giants. First of all, he praised the Giants' COVID-19 protocols, saying, if he gets traded, quote, I could show up the first day and just not like the protocols they're going through. I feel like the Giants have done a really good job of making it go as smoothly as it can, end quote. Now, in regards to being traded, Gausman said, quote, obviously, I don't want to leave these guys, honestly. It's been really great. They've made coming to the ballpark really fun, end quote. So then talking about in the past when Gausman was traded, he said the following. To be honest, I didn't really handle it very well. For a couple of days, it was pretty hard on me. I took it as Baltimore giving up on me as opposed to the Braves really wanting me. It was kind of in my head about that. Luckily, I was with my wife who settled me down. I definitely feel more comfortable this time around. Whatever happens, it's just part of the business. It has no bearing on where I end up next year. I could get traded and definitely see me re-signing here. I really like this team. I really like all these guys. End quote. So that is very interesting. He's talking about the possibility of being traded and then still wanting to come back to the Giants. And this immediately reminds me of what the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman in 2016. They traded him to the Cubs, got a massive return, including Gleyber Torres, who's now like a centerpiece in their star-studded lineup, although he's been hurt this year. But they then, you know, Chapman went on to help the Cubs win the World Series, and then the Yankees just re-signed him after that. So they got a huge return and then just brought him back to their team the next year. So I could definitely see that being a possibility for the Giants. And the fact that he said that publicly is very interesting. And the fact that he said getting traded has no bearing on where he goes next year is also very interesting. It just, some people are different than that. Some people will say, in fact, it's not often that you hear that said. And I think it's a testament to the Giants creating a clubhouse environment that is attractive, because he's saying he wants to be here. And it doesn't matter if he gets traded, he still would want to come back. And so that's really cool. And I just think there's a real possibility that the Giants are going to trade Kevin Gausman. And they may do it even if they end up, you know, winning a couple games in Arizona here and having a pretty decent record going into the deadline. And one of the ways that I can justify this and imagine them justifying this is that Drew Smyly, I assume he's going to come back at some point. And that production that they would get out of Smyly, who probably doesn't really have any trade value because he's currently injured. I don't know how many teams want to take on a guy who's only thrown like 8 innings and has been injured. But I think you could possibly get similar production out of Drew Smyly once he's healthy. And so then you can lose the production of Kevin Gausman and maybe actually not lose much by inserting Smyly into the rotation. Now, where that kind of falls apart is if they also trade other pitchers. If they trade Trevor Cahill, who's also been pretty good and I think will draw some trade interest. If they trade Johnny Cueto, I mean, who do they really have to fill in if and when they, like, let's say they trade Cueto, Gausman, and Smyly, and Cahill, then who the heck is going to pitch for the Giants? I do not know. They don't have a lot of depth at the alternate site right now. Oh, and by the way, they DFA'd Derek Rodriguez. Derek Rodriguez designated for assignment a few days ago. You know, it doesn't really come as a surprise to me ever since that good rookie season. He's been just awful. I know a lot of people blamed his poor production on the front office sending him back and forth between the minors and the majors, but if you can't pitch, like, you can't pitch, and he just couldn't pitch the last couple of years. So he's not an option to fill in. They've got maybe Andy Suarez and who knows who else. So I think if they're trying to contend, which is something that's realistic given how many teams are going to make the postseason this year, Fangraphs still has the Giants playoff odds at 30%, 31% actually, even though they're now 3 games under 500. So I think this weekend is pretty big in terms of what the Giants will decide to do on Monday's deadline. So there are 4 possibilities for what the Giants' record will be going into Monday. They'll either be 15-21 if they're swept, 16-20 if they lose 2 out of 3, 17-19 if they win 2 out of 3, and 18-18 if they sweep the Diamondbacks. So, you know, I would say that the more likely 2 are the 16-20 and 17-19. But looking at that, to me, the only way they're going to justify like a full-on sell would be if they get swept. Besides that, even if they lose 2 out of 3, they're 16-20, which would keep them very much still alive in this expanded postseason. And if they're 17-19 or 18-18, it's going to be hard to really sell. The thing is, I think what we're going to see is just exactly what we saw last year, which is a deft combination of selling, buying, and holding. I thought they did an excellent job of that last year. If you follow the show, you know I've been saying that ever since it happened. But I think that's probably what we'll see again this year. They'll trade away some players where they have an area of surplus. Like right now, they kind of have that in the starting rotation. Like you could trade Trevor Cahill or Kevin Gausman if you feel like Drew Smyly's about to come back and maybe not miss much. Especially then if you're getting a nice future piece that you like, you can easily justify that. I don't know exactly what else they'll do. I'll have to take a real close, hard look at it, but I just would expect that type of trade deadline like they had last year. And recall, they did buy a little bit last year when they brought in Scooter Gennett, and they also held with Bumgarner and Smith, but they definitely sold with Pomeranz, Melanson, and Dyson. So it remains to be seen. The weekend is going to be super important. We'll be back with another episode on Monday. It'll be just hours before the deadline, and then we'll probably do another show after the deadline that same day. So to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you're a fan of this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It would mean a lot and is very much appreciated. Thank you to everyone who's done so already. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.